All right. This morning, I want to quickly speak on growing in faith. Growing in faith. You know, faith is so important. Romans 14 and verse 23. Let me show you a scripture that perhaps you've not seen in a while. You know, and it highlights the importance of faith. He says, but whoever has doubts is condemned. Okay, can we have the NLT, please? Thank you. If you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you're sinning. Can we have it in the King James Version? Let me go back to. Can you see the few words? All right. He says, and he that doubteth, yes, that's the issue with King James, is damned if he eats. But he, because he eateth not of faith. Now, this is where I'm going to. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Can you see that? Whatsoever that is not of faith is sin. You know, sometimes we feel faith is optional. But faith is so important. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. Whatsoever that is not done in faith, the Bible says, is sin. So this is the importance of faith. That's why the Bible says in four different scriptures, the just shall live by faith. Who is the justified? Us. The just shall live by faith. All right? Faith is what we live by. Faith is what we... is like the oxygen of a believer. We live by faith every day. All right? If you're not in faith, you're not pleasing God. If you're not living by faith, it's sin, the Bible says. Whatsoever that is not of faith is sin. So faith is so important in our daily lives. God wants children that trust Him. You know, the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him as righteousness. So those people that believe God, God sees them as righteous. Because they judge God faithful. That has promised and is able to fulfill His promise. Praise the Lord. So I want you to be fully persuaded today that whatever God has said to you will come to pass. That does not excuse us from troubles and challenges. All right? As a matter of fact, those challenges are an opportunity for us to use our faith. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you shall have them. The Bible also says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, your faith is connected to things. Faith and things. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. All right? So if you desire healing, if you desire, you know, a spouse, you desire to have children, you desire a job, all right? You desire to walk in freedom. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive them. And the scripture says you shall have them. All right? And that pleases the Lord. It pleases God when one of His children, by faith, receives from Him. You know, the grace of God has made all things available to us. The grace of God is Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus came as, you know, grace and truth. Jesus is grace and truth. So Jesus is the embodiment of grace to us. Everything Jesus came to do on the cross and do when he was, you know, with us on the earth, it was grace manifesting. And faith receives what grace has supplied. Are you still there? Am I communicating this morning? Now, the grace of God has made a lot of things available, including our health, you know, including, you know, our supplies, you know, blessings for our families, financial blessings, all right? You know, health blessings. What else? You know, relationship blessings. God wants it to be well with us. He wants us, you know, to live a fulfilled life. And Jesus came to sacrifice himself for our eternal salvation and also our victory in this life. Grace has made all things available, but faith takes what grace has already supplied. Are you still there? So faith are the arms that receives what grace has supplied. You cannot lay claim on what Jesus did not make provision for. If it's not in God's word, you can't claim it, right? But Jesus came to make all these things available so that we can receive it. Now listen. For instance, you know, you can't begin to pray. Okay, I won't mention any names. You can't begin to pray for somebody's husband to be your husband. All right? You can't say, oh, I claim. No, I won't mention anybody's name. You can't, you know, you see that handsome man and you begin to say, oh, no, I claim this man. But hey, he's married. He's married. He's taken already. All right? It's not in God's word, so you can't claim it. Are you still there, somebody? All right? It's not in God's word, so you can't claim it by your faith. All right? You can only receive what is in God's word. So what did God's word say about what you desire right now? I'm asking you that question. Begin to think about it. What does God say about healing? The Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. So that is my claim on healing. All right? Can you display Hebrews 11:1 from the Amplified Version? That's my claim on healing, because the Bible talks about it, right? You know, the Bible says that your children shall be like olive plants sitting around your table. So the Bible talks about me having children. So if I want children, I have something to claim, because the Word of God makes it available. Glory be to God, somebody. The Word of God makes it available. Who can give me another example of something that you desire that is in the Word of God? Yes? A spouse. Oh, you already have one. You already have a very handsome one. Okay. Okay, a spouse. What does the Bible say about it? None shall lack her mate. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, right? The scripture talks about these things. So we have something to claim. All right? You can't begin to pray, you know, that God will, you know, kill your neighbor that's making a lot of noise. No, the Bible always blasting music, you know, but because the Bible says love your enemies, right? So we pray and we release our faith according to God's word. So if you want, the practicality of faith is this: when you're faced with a challenge, go into God's word and say, Lord, reveal something in your word about this issue. And then when God reveals his mind is packaged in the word, right? When God reveals his mind on that issue, then you begin to release your faith. Lord, you have said this and I receive it. I believe it and I receive it. Somebody say amen. All right? So you can't claim what is not in the word. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? All right. Let's read Hebrews 11, 1 from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed." I like these words. "And the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality." Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Did you see that? Now, faith is seeing the unseen. All right? Faith is living in your future now. Faith is an assurance of something that you've not seen with your eyes. Glory be to God. Now, this is so powerful. But I want to particularly focus on the word title deed. Now, the word title deed is very interesting. I remember us buying a property, you know, for church back in Nigeria. And, you know, the landlord that sold it to us said, "You know what, we have tidied up the deal and everything, but give us 1 month to move all our things and, you know, just get out of the property." All right? So we had purchased the land. We had received what you call the title deed. The title deed is what, you know, clearly states who owns the land, right? So we had sold the land. The transaction was done. We have moved the money. We have received the title deed. But the landlord, the former landlord, because now we are the landlords, the former landlord was still living in there for 1 month. Now, my question to you is, who owns the property? Who owns the property? Why did you say we own the property? Why? Because we had the title deed, right? We had the title deed. And that's what is happening with a lot of believers today. The title deed is what the Word of God says about that issue. That is your title deed. So that means it's yours, right? It's yours. But guess what? Somebody else might be living in there. Just like God said to the children of Israel, "I give you the land of the Canaanites and the Amorites and all the Hittites. All right? I give you their land. But guess what? They were still living there. God said, "I give you the land where the giants are." But the giants were still living there. But God said, "I've given it to you. I've given it to you." Many people are sick, but the Lord said, "I've given you health." Many people are being tormented by the enemy, but God said, "I've given you victory." Does it mean it's not yours? It's yours. It's in the title deed. You have the title deed. Somebody tell your neighbor, you have the title deed. All right? So what do you do? What do you do? I have the title deed. That means I have the right to evict whoever is living on my property. Glory be to God. I'm getting a bit excited. Praise God. I can evict anyone living in what belongs to me. All right? The enemy cannot steal what belongs to me because I have the title deed. So what do? You take the Word of God. Faith is not mental. It's not just a mental exercise. I have healing. You know, like you're chanting something. No, it's not a mental exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. You discover what the title deed says. And then you enter into the spirit to claim what belongs to you. That's what faith is all about. You see? And that's the difference between what, you know, it's called the name it. You know, so people say name it and claim it. You know, it's not just, you can't just name Wayne and begin to claim Wayne. Oh, I mentioned the name at last. I didn't want to. you can't just begin to claim, you know, something that you desire. You have to find what God says before you can claim it. And that's the difference. So we don't just say, okay, I claim that when God has not spoken anything about it. All right? So God gives you the title deed so that you can receive what belongs to you. Somebody say amen. When I got married, a lot of people began to give, good people, spiritual people, began to say to me, hey, man, the Lord showed us that you will not have any children. The Lord showed us, you know, that you would need to be like a major burden in your life, you know, and all that. And I said, no, I refuse that. I refuse that. You know, and my wife got pregnant the first time and lost the pregnancy. And then the devil said, you see, it is real, you know. And I went into a room and I shut myself up for days, about 3 days. And I was just looking for my title deed. I began to look for the title deed. What did God say about me having children? I began to look through the title deed. And I began to see scriptures, especially in Psalms. You know, David had a lot of wives, so he knew how to get children. So I began to see in the title deed. I began to see it, and I dropped the Bible, and I began to say, I receive. This is what the Lord says, and therefore, this is my portion. This is what the Lord says, that my children will surround my table, and they will not just be mere children. The Bible says they will be like olive plants. This is what the Lord says. And I began to pray for those 3 days. And I came out of that prayer experience energized. Praise God. And my wife got pregnant. And if you can see a beautiful young lady in white hoodie, that's my first daughter. And where's okay, Dida and Zoe are in there. God gave me 3 of them. All right? The title deed is there. Am I speaking very practically to you this morning? That is how to use your faith. Find the title deed. Find the title deed. Everything you need is in this word. Find it. That's what the Bible says, that the word of God is like medicine. But you need to find it. You need to find that pill, that verse, you know, that applies to your situation. And when God gives you that revelation from his word, praise God, when God gives you that revelation, then you release your faith. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, faith can grow. Faith can grow. You know, the disciples once said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. They said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. I believe that was in Luke 17. They said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. But what Jesus said to them was not receive increase of faith. No. The Lord said to them, if you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed, and you begin to speak to this mountain to move, it should obey. Now, what is Jesus saying? Faith increment is not a matter of prayer. Faith grows by use. Write it down. Faith grows as you use it. All right? Faith grows by reason of use. Faith grows as you use it. All right? So if someone has a headache around you and you decide to use your faith, to pray for that person's healing, and you prayed and that person gets healed, faith grows in you because you used it. And then when somebody has, you know, a flu, you have faith. Can I pray for you? Then you pray and that person gets healed. Then your faith grows. And then you can have faith to pray for you know, bigger stuff, right? Because you have been using your faith. And that's why it's important to use your faith every day. The just shall live by faith. Use your faith every day, because when the big troubles come and you've not been using your faith, there'll be nothing to fall back to. You will not have developed enough muscles to move that mountain in your faith. Are you still there? All right. You need to use your faith. Use your faith for your job. Use your faith for your career. Use your faith for your education. Use your faith, you know, to live the life God wants you to live. And as you grow in faith, you know, it's like the story of David. David could bring down Goliath because he was trained already. David was trained. Notice that he was not trained in the use of swords or shields. King Saul gave him a sword and a shield, and he said, I've not practiced with this. I've not practiced with this. What did he know? He knew the sling and the stone. That was what he knew. How did he know them? When he was taking care of the sheep, a lion came and he used the sling to deal with the lion, right? The Bible also says a bear came and he used the sling to take care of the bear. That was what he knew because he practiced with it. So when he came to Goliath, it was the same process, the same faith. And he said, God has given me victory over lions and bears. You, Goliath, I will bring you down as well. And he used the same sling, same stones, and he brought down Goliath. Praise God. So there are some bears in your life. There are some lions in your life that are there to build your faith. When you use your faith and you deal with those bears and lions, when Goliath comes, you will be prepared. You'll be prepared because you have used your faith. You've built your faith muscles. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? All right, so use your faith. Use your faith. Let your first response be faith. You know, whenever my kids come and say, oh, Dad, I have a headache, before I say, get the Advil, all right, I pray first. Say, in Jesus' name, headache be gone. You have no place here in Jesus' name. I always try to use my faith. I always try to build my faith muscles so that when I come to church and somebody comes for prayer, I can have enough faith to pray for that person. Let your first response be faith. Build your faith muscles. Praise the Lord. If that's good, say hallelujah. All right. So levels of faith. In the scriptures, the scripture reveals a lot of, you know, the levels of faith. The scripture talks about no faith. That is in Mark 4:37 to 41. No faith. The Bible talks about little faith. O ye of little faith, right? Matthew 14 and verse 31. And the Bible talks about great faith. That's in Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, and also in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. I hope I wasn't too fast with that. You know, so little faith is, you know, the Bible says, why did you doubt? Matthew 14, 31. Can you quickly display that? Matthew 14, 31 says, why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Little faith is when your faith is mixed with doubt. No faith is a state of total unbelief. And hardly will we have any Christian that has no faith, because you were saved by faith, right? The Bible says God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So we all have faith. It took faith to be saved, all right? How can a man with his brain and with his intellect believe that somebody died and was resurrected? You have to believe that, right? How can you believe in the virgin birth? You have to believe that because it doesn't make sense, all right? Some people that are locked up in their intellect cannot believe in the virgin birth. I saw a debate online yesterday. Some people were just reasoning, you know, using their own reasoning to figure out, you know, all the, you know, this atheism and all that. They were just saying a lot of this. I was just laughing, you know, because you can't explain. You can't, the human mind cannot. You see, that's why I cannot sit down in an argument, trying to argue with. Oh, I'm not called to do that. Maybe some people are called to do that. I can't sit down with it. Is trying to argue something that is supernatural. Thank you, Soph. You know, you can't argue something supernatural. You can't argue. Okay, how do you want to convince somebody about the virgin birth? You know? Yeah, it's only spiritual. You know? That's why what I do is pray for people to encounter God. I pray for people to encounter God because I can't explain it. Praise God. You can't explain it. All right? And of course, great faith is full persuasion, like we spoke about last week. Full persuasion that what God said He will do. Full persuasion. Fully persuaded. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, like we said last week, she said, when I touch the hem of His garment, she didn't say, I might be made whole. She didn't say, I might be made whole. She said, when I touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. And she was determined and pressed through the crowd. Even though she was weak because she had been bleeding for 12 years, she pressed through the crowd, the Bible says, and held the hem of His garment. And immediately, the Bible says, the fountain of the blood, the bleeding, dried up. She knew what she was going for. She was convinced that nothing would stop her miracle today. She was convinced that she will not die in that condition with Jesus being around. She was convinced that Jesus came to that city because of her. And she got a miracle. You could not put doubt into her mind. She was totally, fully persuaded. Are there believers today that are fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass? Are there believers today that can believe totally in the word of God and refuse to mix doubt with it? Little faith is when you mix doubt with what you believe. He loves me, therefore He will make a way for me. You know, my family and I, we've had to scale a lot of hurdles, you know, coming to Canada, you know, immigration issues, been subject to some investigation, you know, by the IRCC and all that. But, you know, whenever we want to slip into worry, I just sit my wife down and I say, let's talk about it. Did we bring ourselves to Canada? Was it our idea? Did we just want a better life and we just decided to leave? No, God sent us here. So if God sent us here, He will see us through. He will see us through. He will see us through. And that gives us rest. And we see God working and turning things around from one level to the other. Alright? We still have many hurdles to cross, but we know that God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Let your anchor be what God has said. Let your anchor be on what God has said. Let your hope be in what God has said. The Bible says, who against hope believed in hope. That was Abraham, right? Against hope. 99-year-old man. Against hope believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations. Praise the Lord. What do you believe about that health condition? What do you believe about your financial condition? What do you believe about, you know, your desire to get married? What do you believe about your desire to have children? What do you believe about that job that you're, you know, pressing in for? What do you believe? Praise God. Find the title deed and claim what is yours. Somebody say amen. Alrighty. Now, I just want to talk about three signs that you're believing wrongly. Three signs that show that you're believing wrongly. Alright? We'll close on that. Three signs that show that you're believing wrongly. Number one is anger. When you notice that you're getting angry, you know, anger signifies that you believe that your goal is being blocked. Anger signifies that you believe that your goal is being blocked. Anger comes from that lack of control. You know, that lack of control. You believe that your goal is being blocked. That brings anger. You know, and whenever you see that you're getting angry so often, it shows that you're believing the wrong thing. All right? Elijah got to a point that he became angry with God. And many of us have gotten to that place where we are angry with God. I know I've been in that place before. When I'm angry with God. I'm angry with God. I feel, God, why are you not doing these things? Or you're believing the wrong thing. That your goal has been blocked. When you see anger, check what you believe. Elijah got so angry with God. He said, God, take me. Just kill me now. I'm not better than my fathers. Just take me away. And God said, hey, I still have a plan for you. But he said, Lord, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. God said, I have 6,000 people that could replace you. Or was it 7,000? 7,000 people that could replace you. And he kept saying, Lord, he was so angry. And God said, you know what? Anoint Elisha to take your place. Because God couldn't work with that anymore. And anoint Elisha to take your place. It's time to come home. When you're so angry, check what you're believing. Your faith is beginning to give way. Number two thing that shows you're believing the wrong thing is anxiety. Anxiety shows that you feel your goal is uncertain. You're not sure. That's little faith. You're doubting that those things that God has said will come to pass. Anxiety. It signifies an unsure goal. You're not sure that that goal will come to pass. Anxiety. Can we quickly read Philippians 4, 6 to 7? Don't worry about anything. King James says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And what happens? Then you will experience God's peace. Did you see that? Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds to live in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guide your heart and mind. All right? Why does it guide your heart and mind? You know, because so that you don't fall to the left or to the right. You stay on course. You stay on the course of faith. So Abraham was believing God, but I'm sure that this scripture had to work for him. He had to guide his mind. There were times, you know, and you know, people will say things that will shake your faith. People will say things like, how come you don't have a job yet? You know, shake your faith. People will say things that will upset you as you walk in faith. But guide your mind. Get back in faith. Stay in faith. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Anxieties. You can also read 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. But let's move on quickly so that we can round up the meeting. Number three thing that shows that you're believing the wrong thing is sadness. If you begin to see yourself being sad, sadness signals an impossible goal. You feel your goal is impossible. You know, if you desire to get married and then you begin to get sad, you begin to believe that it might never happen. If you begin to get sad, you know, the Bible says that, you know, what was her name? Anna. Anna in the scriptures was very sad. She will go to 1 Samuel, I believe. She will go to Shiloh, the place of prayer, and she will be so sad. You know, the second wife of her husband had children, and she was mocking her and saying, at least I have children. You have the love of our husband, but I have children. And was mocking her. And the Bible says she was so sad. She couldn't pray. She was sad. And one day, because she was so frustrated, she went to the temple and she began to pray. For the first time, she was telling God, Lord, is you give me a baby or I die. She was praying. And the priest came in and thought she was drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. It's not even that hour of the day. She said, but my soul is bitter. I need a child. And the priest said to her, by this time next year, you will come to Shiloh with your child. And the Bible says she left the temple and she was glad. She was happy. The Bible says her countenance was no more sad. In other words, when you have received it, you can't be sad. Even if it has not manifested yet, if you have received it, you cannot be sad. If you are sad, it shows that you have not received it yet. Or if you receive it, see, receiving is first in the spirit before it manifests in the physical. And if you have received it, you can't be sad. Glory be to God. I still see the symptoms, but I've received my healing. I still have no dime in my pocket, but I've received the provisions of heaven. Hallelujah. Are you still there? All the priest said was that by this time next year, you will come back with your child. She hadn't taken a pregnancy test. She hadn't confirmed it. In fact, she hadn't laid with her husband after that work. The husband was in the temple, another place somewhere praying on the mountain. But she just received a word. Sadness left. This word is enough for me. Just like, that's great faith. Just like the man that came to Jesus and Jesus said, go your way, your servant is healed. There was no phone in those days to call and say, hey servant, how you feeling now? Check your back very well, or check your temperature. There was no phones. He left the presence of Jesus joyfully, believing that what Jesus said had come to pass. Or that man that said, speak the word only, my servant will be well. And that is why the Bible says, I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. Because if I find it in the title deed, it's as good as mine. I can rejoice from that point. If I find it in the Bible that you will not die but live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living, when I find it in the word, I can begin to rejoice that this sickness is not my end. The Bible says that the prophet told the king, put your house in order for you are going to die. But the Bible says that king, Ezekiah, I believe, was it Ezekiah? He turned to the wall and he began to remind God, Lord, who will praise you like I praise you? Who will build for you like I built for you? Who will glorify your name like I do in all of Israel? And God said, you know what? I like this guy. Give him 15 more years. And the prophet was at the gates of the king's palace. And God said, you know what? Go back and tell him I've added 15 years to his life. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Beloved, faith is not a difficult thing. It's just believing that what is said will come to you. Faith is just receiving everything that the grace of God has provided and refusing to take no for an answer. That's all faith is. I pray that we'll be a community of strong faith and we would, you know, use our faith for many other people. Help people get their healing. Help people get freedom. You know, get things in our own lives that can be testimonies to show that God is alive. And that God means the best for us. Are you happy you came to church this morning? Stand to your feet and pray.